Gomer, Joe Buck, Fillmore Street. This is FieldPod.com. The Week in Georgia in English, coming to you from beautiful San Francisco, California. Today is Thursday, the 22nd of October, 2015. On this date, in 794, Emperor Kanmu relocates the Japanese capital to Kyoto. 1784, Russia founds a colony on Kodiak Island, Alaska. 1836, Sam Houston, who, by the way, spoke fluent Cherokee and lived with them for many years, is inaugurated as the first president of the Republic of Texas. 1924, Toastmasters International is founded near Los Angeles, Gal Marjus. 1934, Pretty Boy Floyd is killed by the FBI. 1957, the first U.S. casualties in Vietnam. 1962, President Kennedy goes on TV and announces the blockade of Cuba, the most intense part of the Cuban Missile Crisis. 1964, Jean-Paul Sartre wins and declines the Nobel Prize for Literature. 1978, the inauguration of Pope John Paul II. 2014, 1 year ago, the attack on the Parliament of Canada in Ottawa, killing a soldier and injuring three other people. By the way, congratulations to the Canadians on the recent elections. Birthdays today are Daniel Boone, Franz Liszt, Sarah Bernhardt, John Reed, Robert Capa, Joan Fontaine, who, by the way, was born in Tokyo, former president of Mozambique, Joaquim Chissano, Catherine Deneuve, Deepak Chopra, and Spike Jones. Today is Wombat Day. I'm your host, Mark Mullen. As ever, the podcast is written by Ari Swiecka. My Georgian journal and Petey Spalitzer column this week is about how the EU is getting squeezed, a little less popular in Georgia. Aggressive statements from the government officials are blaming the EU and NATO for being slow and not being nice enough to Georgia. National Movement blames the EU and NATO for not being tough on Russia. Kremlin propaganda via the church and media is working within Georgia and is largely unaddressed by international donors. Hope somebody does something about that soon. If you'd like to comment on the forum or ask a question, go to tabealpod.com or send us an email at tabealpod@gmail.com. Following up on Rustavi Odi ownership trial on the 19th of October, Tbilisi City Court Judge Tamaz Urtmelidze, who is presiding over the Rustavi Odi case, refused to recuse himself in the case after the defendants argued he was biased in favor of the plaintiff. As a reminder, in August, Kibar Khalvashi, who was a shareholder in Rustavi Odi in 2004-2006 and was given it, launched a lawsuit to regain his shares of the company. The judge, Tamaz Urtmelidze, granted the request to free Rustavi Odi's assets pending the court verdict, completely unnecessarily. Rustavi Odi immediately alleged that Khalvashi's lawsuit was orchestrated with the government to take over the broadcaster, which is, of course, true. So now, Rustavi Odi's motion for the recusal of the judge was based mostly on two arguments. There's a recent criminal case that was filed against Urtmelidze's mother, and second, Judge Urtmelidze's wife posted several negative comments on her Facebook account about Rustavi Odi TV and his chief executive, Nika Gvaramia. Rustavi Odi is alleging that the government can exert influence over the judge because of the criminal case that was filed against his mother, which is, of course, true. On the 12th of October, prosecutor's office filed criminal charges against the mother in connection to a domestic violence incident that occurred over a year and a half ago. Little weird. Timing of these criminal charges prompted allegations that the authorities want to exert pressure on the judge, since clearly we know that the prosecutors work currently, as they did under Misha and under Shevardnadze, for the government. The prosecutor's office denies the allegation, said that initiating criminal charges in sensitive cases more than a year later is a standard procedure so that the parties have time for an out-of-court settlement. So the court, dealing during the motion to recuse a judge, Urtmelidze said the motion was not accepted and explained that his wife's comments were her personal comments. She's not a judge, and he doesn't share them anyway. About the criminal proceedings against his mother, he said formally that his mother is, and I quote, not considered to be my family member, end quote. Strange. And that he, quote, was distanced from those legal proceedings from the very beginning, end quote. Judge Urtmelidze suggested that there is an attempted pressure on him from the side of the respondents, and his recusal would amount to yielding to pressure. At one point during the hearing, Rustavi Odi's CEO Gvaramia was ordered to leave the courtroom for getting into an argument with the judge. Meanwhile, outside Tbilisi City Court, hundreds of people gathered to support Rustavi Odi and were protesting that the government wants to silence the broadcaster. Then, on the evening of the 21st of October, head of Rustavi Odi Gvaramia went on live broadcaster reveal that he received a threat from the government. They said they would leak videos about his personal life if he refused to step aside from the television station. Videos related to conversations with Misha and also about certain relationships, that he would be destroyed in the eyes of his colleagues in the country. Guadamia further explained that he was told by a person who acts as a go-between for him and the government that the court verdict into the ownership dispute is expected on the 22nd of October, today. Haven't heard anything yet. The verdict will order the broadcaster to be handed over to former owner Halvashi. All in the televised statement, Guadamia alleged that the government conveyed a message to him that he should not resist the enforcement of the court verdict. Guadamia said, however, that he is not going to obey the illegal court verdict and will resist a change in ownership or in the broadcaster's editorial policy. They planned to protest outside the court during the verdict and said that if there is an attempt to forcibly break into the television station, we will defend ourselves likewise with force. He then addressed foreign diplomats and complained that they were not straightforward enough in voicing protest over the developments with Rustavi Ori TV, which is true. Later that evening, the prosecutor's office said it opened an investigation into the allegations voiced by Guadamia about receiving a threat from the government on leaking a video about his personal life under an article of the criminal code dealing with cases of psychological or physical coercion. And U.S. State Department reiterated that they are closely watching developments with Rustavi Ori. Next day, on the 22nd of October, hundreds of people gathered outside the Rustavi Ori main office, outside the court building in support of Rustavi II. I don't know if any senior diplomats or people are listening to this podcast, but Guadamia is right. This is very, very important for Georgia. The ruling party is not popular and becoming less so, as we know from the NDI CRC polls. Rustavi Ori expresses that and is the most popular news station in the country. The government is shutting it down and hiding behind the courts. The international community needs to be louder about this while there is still time. On the 17th of October, graphic videos from Georgia in 2011 showing the torture and sexual abuse of two men detained by the police in order to extract a testimony were released by a Ukrainian website, soon spread in Georgia's social media and internet. It triggered a lot of outrage. The footage was from a cache found by the Interior Ministry in Samogrelo in 2013 of thousands of videos showing the torture, physical, verbal, and sexual abuse of detainees and prisoners. The videos were taken during Misha's rule by the Ministry of Interior. The next day, on the 18th of October, pro-government groups screened the graphic video in public places in Tbilisi and Zugdidi. The ombudsman condemned the public screening of the videos. The question also became, how were the videos leaked? The government denied anything to do with the videos being published and indicated that some videos might have been copied by members of the previous government. The prosecutor's office has launched an investigation into how they were leaked and how Ukrainian media got them. The chief prosecutor said he would personally oversee the investigation. The release of the videos coincided, funnily enough, with the release that same day of the NDI survey that showed a dramatic drop in popular support of the Georgian Dream. Talk a little bit more about the NDI poll later. Government opponents made allegations that the authorities leaked the video to distract public attention from the unfavorable polls and give politicians from the ruling coalition a reason to talk about crimes committed when the UNM was in power. Then, on the 19th and 20th of October, UNM offices were attacked around the country in Kutaisi, Batumi, Goria, Khatsikhe, Ozurgeti, Gurjani, Telavi, Tetri, Tsharo, Poti, and Rustavi. Pro-government groups, among them employees of local self-governance bodies, marched to the UNM local offices chanting slogans like "Get out of Georgia" and putting up posters reading "Liquidated" outside their offices or throwing eggs. In Akhaltsikhe and Gori, the doors of the UNM office were nailed shut. There was a scuffle outside the Kutaisi office. On the 21st of October, pro-government group in a town of Guria welded shut doors of the local UNM office. Local media reported that police were at the scene but did not intervene. A group of civil society groups, including Young Lawyers, TI Georgia, and ISFED, said in a joint statement, quote, "It is impossible to provide for the democratic development of the country through instilling additional aggression and hatred," end quote, which is certainly true. Another group of civil society organizations said that the public screening of the torture footage, which they said were organized with active participation of public servants, combined with the attacks on UNM offices a few hours later with the participation of Georgian Dream activists, proved that it is all part of a unified, premeditated process of the government which serves to dislodge the main opposition force from the political playing field in the lead-up to the elections. Government officials denied any affiliation or involvement with the attacks on the UNM offices. Defense Minister Hidashelli commented that sometimes you get hit by eggs. This is a regular situation if it falls under the freedom of speech, which is odd when it is the government officials throwing the eggs. Anyway, during the government meeting in the morning of the 22nd of October, Prime Minister Kharibashvili said that the UNM is a criminal organization which has no right to remain in politics and that aggression against the party is natural, given the videos, the sexual abuse of detainees by law enforcement officers when the UNM was in power. He said UNM should be grateful that over the past 3 years, people have not done to them what is depicted in these videos. A very lengthy speech saying how the UNM are criminals, they should be apologizing to society, they'll get what they deserve, etc. He also spoke about the blackmail allegations voiced by Rustavi Odi head Nika Gwaramia, saying that the accusations seem to be a provocation. He also dismissed any government involvement in the Rustavi Odi Khalbashi ownership dispute. Ha! Parliamentary Speaker Datu Subashvili later said that he would not cooperate with politicians who would encourage violence and disobeying the decisions of the court. He didn't name anyone in particular. Then, in a brief televised live statement, President Mark Velashvili said that recent developments, including Rustavi Odi's ownership dispute and Prime Minister Kharibashvili's remarks earlier that morning, escalated the political climate and created prerequisites for civil confrontation and violation of constitutional order, that unfortunately, instead of defusing the situation, the statement made today by the head the government added tension to an already difficult situation. He called on everyone to refrain. About the pending Rustavi Odi court verdict, he called on judges not to make hasty and rigid decisions that may fuel an already tense situation. Politicians from the opposition welcomed his statements. Defense Minister Hidashelli was quick to criticize it, saying there's no threat whatsoever to constitutional order in the country. This is an irresponsible statement. I think that this very statement by the president is fueling tensions. Energy Minister Kahi Kaladze said the president's remarks over the Rustavi Odi TV court case amounts to meddling in the judiciary and putting pressure on the judge, which is ridiculous. On the 19th of October, Foreign Minister Georgi Kvitikashvili met with Azerbaijani President Ilham Aliyev on a visit to Baku. Kvitikashvili also met with Azerbaijani Prime Minister, Foreign Minister, Parliamentary Speaker. As a reminder, Prime Minister Kvitikashvili made a brief and unannounced visit to Baku on the 10th of October when he met with Aliyev. The visit came shortly after Energy Minister Kahi Kaladze said that Tbilisi will consider buying gas supplies from Gazprom on top of what the country is already receiving. If the proposal is commercially viable, and suggesting that Georgia has to diversify its gas supplies. Georgia receives most of its gas from Azerbaijan, but 10% of it comes from Russia as part of the gas that goes from Russia to Armenia in transit fees. Many speculated the Prime Minister's sudden visit to Azerbaijan was to mend any damage from the Gazprom issue. Then, on the 20th of October, Energy Minister Kaladze said that Georgia will have to buy gas from Gazprom on top of what the country is already receiving from Russia with a transit fee, claiming that there is no possibility to import additional volumes from Azerbaijan. He said they need more gas because of increasing gas consumption in Georgia, which he said is expected to reach 2.5 billion cubic meters in 2015, a 27% increase since 2012. Interested to know why? I'll try and figure that out. Kaladze convened a news conference to present a breakdown of Georgia's natural gas imports per year and per supply source between 2003 and 14, showing that Georgia was buying additional gas from Gazprom when the UNM was in power. According to the figures he showed, Azerbaijan is Georgia's main source of gas supply. 2014, Georgia consumed 2.17 billion cubic meters of gas, 87% of it from Azerbaijan. About 686 million cubic meters of Azerbaijani gas came as part of the deal in the framework with the BP-operated South Caucasus pipeline, which transported gas from the Shah Deniz offshore field to the Caspian in the Caspian Sea to Turkey via Georgia. 1.2 billion cubic meters were imported as part of a separate contract with Azerbaijan. And Georgia received 267 million cubic meters from gas from Russia in 2014, of which 206 million was a transit fee. Georgia imported an additional 61.6 million cubic meters of Russian gas in 2014. Energy Minister Kaladze also explained again what the meeting in Brussels in late September with Gazprom chief executive was all about. He said they discussed the possible increase of transit gas to Armenia via Georgia, also about corporate clients buying additional gas from Gazprom, if the price is acceptable. Kaladze said that because of increasing gas consumption in Georgia, the country may face certain problems until 2019 before the second phase of the Shahmaniz project becomes operational. As mentioned last week, the prosecutor in the International Criminal Court, Fatou Bensouda, arrived in Tbilisi on the 15th of October. Her visit came 2 days after she requested ICC judges to authorize an investigation into war crimes and crimes against humanity allegedly committed during the August 2008 war. It was a 160-page request detailed alleged crimes committed by Georgian, Russian, and South Ossetian sides. The crimes include killing, forcible displacements, persecution of ethnic Georgian civilians, destruction and pillage of their property by South Ossetian forces, with possible participation by Russian forces, intentionally directed attacks against Georgian peacekeepers by South Ossetian forces, and against Russian peacekeepers by Georgian forces. The investigation will also look into other alleged crimes, such as indiscriminate and disproportionate attacks against civilian targets by both Georgian and Russian armed forces. At this stage, the prosecutor does not have enough evidence to determine whether these allegations constitute a possible war crime within the jurisdiction of the International Criminal Court. The Russian Foreign Ministry said in a statement that interpretations provided by the ICC prosecutor in her request for opening the investigation are far from reality and don't fully cover alleged crimes committed by the Misha regime. As a note, it is not clear how long it will take for the ICC judges to approve a go-ahead for the investigation. ICC prosecutor Bensouda explained that based on previous cases, it could be 3 or 4 months. 16th of October, ICC prosecutor Bensouda met with Justice Minister Tsiloukiani and chief prosecutor in Tbilisi, as well as human rights groups, which in 2009 compiled a report detailing violations of human rights and international humanitarian law during the August war. After the meeting, ICC prosecutor Bensouda said she was pleased by the level of cooperation her office was receiving from the Georgian authorities. Justice Minister Tsiloukiani said that the Georgian side will seek to broaden the scope of the investigation to cover cases of killing, torture, and inhumane treatment of captured Georgian servicemen during the war, and that the ICC prosecutor application for an investigation does not properly reflect the role Russian forces played during the conflict. The ICC prosecutor filed the request for opening the probe after her office was notified by the Georgian side that it was suspending its own investigation. The Georgian side said that further progress in its investigation was prevented by a fragile security situation in the occupied territories. It also cited concerns over the safety of witnesses since they reside close to South Ossetia and are at risk of being subjected to threats and arbitrary detention by the South Ossetian authorities. Prosecutor Bensouda said that if the judge authorizes the investigation, the prosecutor's office will be able to assess what kind of protection witnesses may need. Although Russia is not a party to the Rome Statute, which established the ICC, the court has jurisdiction to investigate Russian nationals because the alleged crimes were committed on the territory of Georgia, which is a member of the ICC. If the investigation is authorized, Georgia, as a state party to the Rome Statute, will be obliged to fully cooperate with the ICC, something that will not apply to Russia because it's not a member. It is the first time when the ICC prosecutor has requested opening an investigation into crimes outside of Africa. As briefly mentioned earlier, on the 17th of October, NDI presented the results of a new public opinion poll covering political support and foreign policy issues. The poll was done by CRRC. The data was collected from the 8th of August to the 10th of September. It has a margin of error, plus or minus 3%. So some of the poll results, when asked what party they would vote for if elections were held tomorrow, 31% of likely voters said they don't know, which is up from 27% in the April poll. 10% said they would not vote for any of the parties, which is a 4% percentage point increase. UNM has 15% support among likely voters, almost the same as the April poll, while 14% would support Georgian Dream ruling coalition, which is a decline of 10% since April 2015, which shows relatively the same amount of supporters for Georgian Dream and UNM. Together, 41% of voters are undecided on who they would vote for, When asked, do you approve of the government's stated goal to join the EU? 61% approve. That is a 17% drop in approval since last year. 45% agree that Georgia will benefit more from joining the EU and NATO, while 30% agree that Georgia will benefit more from abandoning Euro-Atlantic integration in favor of better relations with Russia. A number of Georgian Dream politicians questioned the credibility of the NDI public opinion survey. Prime Minister Kharabashvili remarked, I probably can't comment seriously on the NDI polls. There are a lot of question marks, not towards NDI itself, but towards those people who were involved in carrying out the polling and who are directly linked to the national movement. As a reminder, the same day the polls were released, the new video of the prison rape and torture under Misha's Ministry of Interior were leaked. On the 21st of October, the chairman of the Constitutional Court, Georgi Papuashvili, released a written appeal to the president, prime minister, and parliamentary speaker, saying that law enforcement agencies are turning a blind eye on multiple cases of unlawful conduct against the Constitutional Court, and it poses a threat to the court's proper functioning. As a reminder, in September, pro-government groups held a series of rallies outside the Constitutional Court chairman's private residence in Tbilisi and Batumi, condemning the court's decision, which allowed former Tbilisi mayor Gigi Ugulava to be released from 14 months of pretrial detention. In his appeal, Papuashvili concludes that the indifference of the law enforcement authorities and the lack of a reaction from high state bodies towards the unlawful conducts against the Constitutional Court gives the impression that the state violates its obligations to secure the protection of the independence of judges and jeopardizes the implementation of constitutional justice in Georgia. All true. Defense Minister Tiniko Khidasheli and the U.S. Deputy Secretary of Defense spoke on the phone on the 15th of October. Khidasheli confirmed that Georgian troops will continue to serve in Afghanistan in the NATO-led Resolute Support peacekeeping mission after 2017, came right after President Obama announced that they are slowing the pace of U.S. troop withdrawals from Afghanistan. There was also a phone conversation between the Chief of the Joint Chiefs of Staff of the Georgian Armed Forces, Major General Vakhtang Kapanadze, and U.S. Air Force General Philip Breedlove, who is NATO's Supreme Allied Commander in Europe. Following up on previous week's stories, on the 21st of October, the first conference of prosecutors elected 8 members to the new 15-member prosecutorial council. I didn't recognize any of the names. The council will be responsible for selecting the chief prosecutor in the future, according to a bill passed by Parliament in September. About 400 Georgian prosecutors from all over the country convened in Tbilisi for the conference. They were divided into 12 different initiative groups, each named a favorite candidate for the council. They voted, and 8 were chosen. The remaining 6 members of the 15-seat council should be elected before the 29th of October, which will be the council's first meeting. As a reminder, the council is chaired by the Justice Minister. The other 6 members of the council have to be 2 members of Parliament, one from the majority, one from the opposition, one seat to a civil society representative, another to someone from the academic field, 2 seats by judges of the High Council of Justice. On the 19th of October, leader of South Ossetia, Leonid Tibilov, said that he plans to initiate holding a referendum on joining Russia. The announcement came after Tibilov met in Tskhinvali with Vladimir Surkov, Putin's aide in charge of overseeing Moscow's relations with Abkhazia and South Ossetia. Calls for joining Russia are not new. Bibilov, whose United Ossetia Party won a majority of seats in the South Ossetian parliament last year, ran a pre-election campaign on the promise of holding a referendum on joining Russia. Some Russian politicians, including the chairman of the Russia State Duma Committee on CIS Eurasian Integration and deputy chairman of the Duma's Foreign Affairs Committee, and other lawmakers advised to be cautious about the move, that there are many pros for South Ossetia, but more cons for Russia, especially in international relations. The Russian daily Kommersant reported on the 20th of October, citing an unnamed Russian source familiar with the matter, that the referendum is not on the agenda right now. Kremlin spokesman Dmitry Peskov then told RIA Novosti and ITAR TASS that the issue of holding up a referendum on joining Russia was not discussed at the meeting between Tibilov and Surkov in Tskhinvali, that there was no statement made about it during that meeting, and Tibilov is probably talking about how there are supporters in South Ossetia for joining Russia. Following up on the lari, a little bit of a drop. National banks at the new exchange rate from the 23rd of October. One U.S. dollar is 2.3937 lari. Previous exchange rate was 2.3864. President Georgi Margvelashvili was on an official visit to Israel this week. He arrived on the 18th of October. He met with the president, Prime Minister Netanyahu, Speaker of the Knesset, leader of the opposition coalition in parliament. He was accompanied by his wife, Maka Chichua. He also met with people from the Georgian Jewish community and called on them to invest in Georgia. Chief of the General Staff and Commander-in-Chief of the Armed Forces of Ukraine, General Viktor Mushenko, paid an official visit to Georgia this week. On the 20th of October, he met with the Chief of General Staff of the Georgian Armed Forces in Tbilisi. Bidzina Ivanishvili attended a meeting of the Georgian Dream Democratic Georgia Party on the 19th of October. They invited him. He is technically simply a private citizen. European Investment Bank is giving a 100 million euro loan to rehabilitate and extend Kutaisi's municipal sewage system and to construct a wastewater treatment plant. Context of the Silk Road Forum in Tbilisi, the European Investment Bank also loaned 15 million euros to its partner financial institution, Georgia ProCredit Bank, to finance projects promoted by SMEs. EU Commissioner for Enlargement Issues Johannes Hahn will visit Georgia on the 26th to 27th of November. According to the Foreign Ministry, there will be an informal Eastern Partnership meeting in Tbilisi, attended by Hahn and Eastern Partnership country foreign ministers. EU High Commissioner Federica Mogherini will also pay a two-day visit to Georgia in November, but there are no more details on that for now. Energy Ministry plans to build three hydropower plants along the Tkvari River in Samsko-Javakheti region. They announced an expression of interest this week for parties to carry out technical and economic feasibility studies, as well as for the procurement, construction, and operation of the dams. Cost of building three dams is estimated about $45 million. Meanwhile, as a reminder, four new dams, Mukhara, Lentechi, Luji, and Sageri, will be built along the Schenischali River in Racha Lechumi and Lower Svaneti regions. Following up on the Silk Road Forum that Tbilisi hosted last week, the Dongfeng Electric Corporation of China, Georgian International Energy Corporation, signed an agreement to invest $200 million to build a thermal power plant in Tribuli and Imereti. Dongfeng Electric first showed interest in financing the new thermal power plant when Prime Minister Ghadabashvili visited China in September. During the forum, Ghadabashvili also met with Sheikh Nahyan Mubarak Al Nahyan from the United Arab Emirates, talking about Georgia's potential as a trade hub. Asian Development Bank's Vice President Win Kai Zhang confirmed that the bank will increase its funding to Georgia over the next 3 years. Turkish company Kalik Holding is expanding its business in Georgia. They've already helped build a $230 million combined cycle power plant in Gardabani and Kakheti. Now the chairman met with Prime Minister Ghadabashvili. They discussed plans to invest in a textile production facility in Georgia. The U.S. guided missile destroyer Porter DDG-78 is making a port visit to Batumi from the 20th to the 23rd of October. The U.S. Porter is from the U.S. Navy 6th Fleet. It also visited Odessa this month. Following up on last week's story, on Saturday, the 17th of October, there was a No to Gazprom demonstration in central Tbilisi organized by UNM-affiliated Tabula TV. The day before the 16th of October, police detained the head of Tabula TV, Tamar Chergulaishvili, wife of Giga Bokeria, and two others when they were putting up posters on the fence off Rustaveli Avenue for the No to Gazprom campaign. They were released a couple of hours later, but will have to appear in court because they were charged under Article 150 of the Code of Administrative Offenses for putting up posters where they're not allowed. This is completely ridiculous because there are posters all over the place and nobody ever gets arrested for any of them. Illustrates the biased arrest policies of the police relating to political opposition. Meanwhile, no arrests made whatsoever relating to the harassment of the National Movement offices. On the 30th of September, police can no longer test someone for drugs unless that person shows suspicious signs of drug intoxication or was caught breaking the law. Before that, police had the right to test anyone for suspected drug use. The head of Parliament's Health Care Social Issues Committee requested changes from the Ministry of Interior to refine the rules earlier this year, citing that 70% of the people stopped by police and taken for a drug test had never used drugs, and that the random checks were costly and violated a person's rights. Soldier in the armed forces committed suicide again this week by jumping off a bridge. 8 Georgian manuscripts from the 4th to the 15th centuries were accepted into the UNESCO Memory of the World Register earlier in October. The historical items are kept in the National Archives in Tbilisi. The documents include a 9th version of the Christian Gospel completed in the oldest Georgian script, Asom Tavruli. Georgia's mountain resort development company, which manages the Gudauri and Bakuriani ski resorts, signed a deal with Canada's Whistler-based EcoSign mountain resort planners to create a master plan for developing infrastructure at Gudauri. The agreement was signed in South Korea within a conference on Europe and Asian ski resorts. A 5-star hotel and Preference Hualing Tbilisi Hotel opened at Tbilisi Sea. It's financed by the Chinese company Hualing Group, of course. It's part of the Tbilisi Sea New City project built by Hualing Group and that hosted the Athletes Village for the European Youth Olympic Games in July 2015. Hualing invested $73 million building the new hotel. It has 247 guest rooms, the country's largest conference hall, measuring 800 square meters with adjoining meeting rooms, swimming pool, golf course, fitness hall, and billiards room. The Open Government Partnership, or OGP, announced that Georgia has been shortlisted as one of 3 semifinalists for the inaugural Government Champions Award. The Georgia candidate is the interfactional group of the Parliament of Georgia and was nominated by IDFI. The award aimed to showcase collaborative relations between the government and civil society in developing a national action plan, such as to make the government more transparent. Georgia joined the OGP in February 2015. Public voting is open on the OGP website until the 27th of October. You can see Georgia's video submissions there. Georgian judoka Varlam Lipartelyani was crowned champion of the 90-kilo weight category at the International Judo Federation's Paris Grand Slam in France this week. 69-year-old Georgian swimmer Henry Kuprashvili is refusing to participate in the March 2016 Winter World Swimming Championships because of visa issues. In protest, it's been hosted in Tumen, Russia. Kuprashvili said he registered for the competition but was then contacted by the organizing committee that to get a Russian visa, he would need a special invitation from either Russia's foreign ministry or a close relative living in Russia. 2002, Kuprashvili broke a world record by swimming across the Dardanelles with his hands and legs bound like a dolphin. On the 21st of October, students protested in front of Tbilisi State University demanding the resignation of the rector. They said he is unable to resolve the university's many problems. The university is just a bureaucratic machine that is not developing. Police detained 4 people for extortion. Interior Ministry said 4 men threatened to kill their victim if he didn't pay them 55,000 lari. All 4 have previously been convicted of extortion. Georgia is giving $30,000 to aid in the Caribbean country of Dominica, which was hit by a tropical storm in late August. Flooding and mudslides killed at least 20 and left more than 50 missing. The money is coming from the government reserve fund. Construction of the Axis Towers in Vaque resumed this week following a 7-year hiatus on building after the August 2008 war. Real estate developers Axis and the Georgian Co-Investment Fund will share 50-50 the $83 million project. Complex is 2 twisting towers, 41 stories high, 1 of glass, 1 of stone. And the glass skyscraper, a 5-star hotel, will open, which will be operated by French international brand Pullman. Stone tower will be residential apartments. The project is expected to be completed in 2017. A bronze statue of British siblings Oliver and Marjorie Wardrop was unveiled in Wardrop Square near the Parliament building in Tbilisi last weekend during the Tbilisoba Festival. Oliver Wardrop was a diplomat and translator, founded Kartvelian Studies at Oxford University. Mary Wardrop was a scholar and translator of Georgian literature. She translated 12th century Georgian epic The Knight in the Panther Skin by Shota Rustaveli into English. It was published in 1912. A panoramic tile depicting the 17th century torture of Queen Ketevan in Georgia is unveiled at the Chateau Mukhrani on the 18th of October. It is an exact replica of the original, which is at the Convenção da Graça Church in Lisbon, Portugal. Parliamentary news. On the 16th of October, Parliament voted down a draft statement tabled by UNM expressing concern over government pressure on Rustavi Ori TV. The statement read that, coordinated actions by the executive and judicial branches of the government against Rustaviotti pose a threat to the existence of the broadcaster, hugely damage media pluralism and expression, freedom of expression, and consequently, the country's Euro-Atlantic integration. Parliamentary debates over the proposed text were aired live on Rustaviotti. The Ministry of Labor is drafting a new labor safety law and seeking consultations and feedback. According to Article 5 of the draft, all businesses will be required to appoint and train a health and safety officer. Some of the feedback is that this isn't necessary. It should be restricted to those professions or businesses where there is a significant risk to health or safety. Meme this week is a judge in Rustaviotti case, Tomas Urtmelidze, saying before the court that in fact his mother is not a member of his family in order to demonstrate that he can't be pressured through the criminal case against her. Stuff to read. TI Georgia details challenges of Georgia's new immigration policy. For CRC, Till Bruckner looks at whether think tanks in Georgia function as foreign lobbyists. ISET blog looks at the history and future of silk production in Georgia. The Telegraph lists the world's best city skylines and includes Tbilisi. The site Culture Trip has a list of the most difficult languages to learn, which includes Georgian. All these things to read posted on the forum. This week's geocapital number is 33%. This is the decrease in money transfers coming into Georgia September 2015 compared to a year before, according to statistics by the National Bank. The decline is mostly because of a decline in remittances. Some announcements. There's a photo exhibition on everyday life in Istanbul by award-winning Armenian-Turkish photographer Arar Güler in the National Gallery in Tbilisi. It's there till the 31st of October. In Tbilisi, there's a Georgian International Festival of Arts, a theater festival also known as GIFT, until mid-November. There's also the Tbilisi Jazz Festival this upcoming week until the 29th of October, featuring Diana Krall and Avishai Cohen, but it sold out already. The Synodoc Tbilisi Film Festival is running until the 25th of October. The next Works in Progress lecture in Tbilisi is by Thomas Weir on gender in Tusheti, which should be interesting. Go if you can. It's on the 28th of October at 6:30 p.m. in the Eurasia Partnership office in Vake. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. That's Tango, X-Ray, Tango, Bravo, Uniform, Kilo. Our email address is tbilpod@gmail.com or post to the forum on our website, www.tbilpod.com. And we will finish with, from Brighton, this is the Rizzle Kicks from 2011 and Down with the Trumpets.
Yes, Rizzle Kicks, Dag Nabbit.
You might hear me make a record like Wilson, cause I love Summer, no Rachel Wilson.
Yes.
The winter will come, we just have parties inside, it's still fun.
We're jamming,
pump this,
we're banging.
Chase your boyfriend, let's have him. We're rowdy, girls make our judgment cloudy. But when the sun comes out, we're still alkies. We don't wanna be lousy or shameless, but we're running around like we're brainless. Now I got grass stains on my brand new white trainers.
On my brand new white trainers.
I know a few guys hate us, they're as competitive as neighbours. So late as this blaters, we've got our own sound. You know now, so go wild and get hosed down. And oh no,
yeah, yeah.
Let's get down with the trumpets.
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 Whoa.
Let's get down with the down with the.
Whoa.
Let's get down with the down with the.
Whoa.
Let's get down with the down with the.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's get down with the trumpets.
When I get down, I get respect now. And when our tune drops, you know it makes your head bounce. Yeah, I move with the flow. And when I enter the room, it shows. I move sick, then chicks. Moving, I move quick, at risk. Just be careful you don't lose your chick. That might just happen. So listen, deep stick with your madam. Or she might just leave.
Yeah, yeah. Let's get down with the trumpets.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's get down with the trumpets.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's get down with the trumpets.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's get down with the trumpets.
Whoa.
Let's get down with the down with the.
Whoa.
Let's get down with the down with the.
Whoa.
Let's get down with the. get it down with the, get down with the chocolates. How much sound from the brass to the air will it take to put your bras in the air?
Pardon me there.
Just don't pretend that if I wasn't older, you wouldn't wanna dance with me, yeah. You're the last of my fears. I was top boy of the class in my year. Well, not really, but I was halfway there. And I could have been the headmaster, so yeah, got vibes and charisma. Lighter and whistler, backy and filter. Shine for me, mister. I want the sun to said I'm looking at bright blue. Yes, then we drop a light anvils. Bring your whole crew to a standstill. Still, stick us on the clubs and I guarantee that nobody will stand still.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's get down with the trumpets.
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 What?
Let's get down with it, down with it.
What?
Let's get down with it, down with it.
What?
Let's get down with it, down with it.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's